Wall Street meet Dallas, Dallas meet Wall Street. Today, the Texas Stock Exchange opened for trading. Your first look at North Texas' newest huge financial player now. Today is the opening day, but it is limited. Banks, broker-dealers, and trading firms are the only ones in the market taking part in this, testing the system, essentially, before it goes live for everyone else as we continue through this month. Now, officials say over the next few weeks, symbols of thousands of stocks and other equities will be added, and it will be opened to public trading. Right now, it's all electronic, but the exchange has signed a lease at the Bank of America Tower at Parkside in Uptown. That building isn't expected to be finished until 2027.
Well, I'm kind of excited about this. I don't know about you. I think Wall Street, you know, is located in a dreadful place right now. And I think just having something in Texas makes me feel good. Makes me feel really good. I might feel better if it were in Florida, but I'll settle for Texas. And it's the Texas Stock Exchange. It's just opening, and they're calling it Y'all Street. It's Y'all Street, which makes me laugh. But I have a guest today that's going to be talking about the good things about it, but also some cautions, because we all need to be aware. Unfortunately, there was a time when we actually were a republic. We elected people that we trusted, who went to wherever they, the state offices or to federal offices, and they actually were conscientious, and they did what the people wanted. They, and even if the people didn't know about an issue, they did what was right on behalf of their people. We don't have that anymore. So no wonder we're exhausted. We have to watch everything and hold all of our elected officials' feet to the fire. It was not intended to be that way. But while it is that way, I think we have to do that. So there are some concerns about the Texas Stock Exchange, and we're going to talk about the glories and the concerns on today's show. But first, right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the very first time. And in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, and that's the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of forgiveness, the hope for her baby, just hope, living hope. This April, our goal, meaning Preborn's goal, is to have 11,000 gospel conversations. That's conversations about Jesus in Preborn Network clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. And you know that because if you listen to the show, you know that. And you probably remember it's only $28 for one ultrasound. Just $28. And of course, any multiple of that, $140 sponsors five ultrasounds. That's so that a mom can see her baby in utero. And, you know, I think something like, well, it's over half. It may be 60%. I wish I had the exact percentage of the women who see their baby in that 40 ultrasound just can't bring themselves to terminate the life. It's pretty amazing. It's just, it's God's magic, really, to see that baby. And so, if you would like to provide an ultrasound for these moms and also make it possible for that conversation to take place about forgiveness and living hope, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right. Well, stay tuned. Take a pencil and paper. Get your checkbook out. And we're going to talk about the Texas Stock Exchange today, Y'all Street, with Will Held on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
And it really lets the world know that, that Texas is indeed a major player in this industry.
The New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ's first new major rival in more than two decades is launching in Texas. The Texas Stock Exchange began operations Monday, and live trading could start as early as Friday. The Dallas-based exchange says thousands of publicly traded stocks are expected to be available by the end of the month.
This is another step that expands the financial might of Texas in the United States and cements our economic power on the global stage.
Ray Perryman, a Texas-based economist, says the Texas Stock Exchange shows the Lone Star State is more than a tech and energy hub. He says it could give the state's economy another boost.
As it increases opportunities for firms in the area to expand, have access to capital, to be more profitable, that means they hire more people, that means they pay more taxes, that means they buy more things in their supply chains.
Texas ranks second in the U.S. for Fortune 500 headquarters, behind California and ahead of New York. And with Texas Stock Exchange set to launch, experts say Austin's startup community could see even more growth.
What do you think the Texas Stock Exchange will do for the tech industry here in Austin and its big startup culture?
They'll now have a vehicle here in Texas that will be more efficient and less expensive to register on than the traditional exchanges.
Okay, Sandy Rios with you. Well, I have to tell you, this is news to me. I don't know why I'm watching other things, but I had no idea. I think we're all watching New York City sort of devolve. And my husband and I were just talking about it last night, wondering if it's just going to become like a Detroit, a burned out city that's completely and totally dangerous that nobody wants to go to. And with the New York Stock Exchange, the most it has been, of course, the center of banking and all things financial of the world, really, for decades. But what will happen to that in the midst of all this chaos that's being created in New York City by the election of Zohran Mamdani? Well, here comes Texas. Here comes Texas with a solution. It's called the Texas Stock Exchange, and they're actually calling it Y'all Street, which I think is pretty funny. And joining me today is Will Held. Will has really written a great article about this to give us a lot of thought about what this actually means. Will is the executive director of Consumers Research, and that's the nation's oldest consumer protection organization. Will, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you.
All right. So, Will, who knew? Has this been widely reported? And I just, in financial circles, and the rest of us have been watching, you know, I don't know, elections or something.
Well, I'd say that within financial circles, it was certainly people were paying attention to it. Although it's been years in the making. This is not something that happened overnight, and so it hasn't until there's sort of the grand opening. It kind of feels like one of those things that's always going to be, you know, 12 months to 18 months away. So it did kind of, I think, sneak up on a lot of people because it's finally here. They finally opened it.
Is it fully functional yet?
That's my understanding. They're trading, open the trading floor, although they probably have a real floor, but in the digital age. But yeah, my understanding is it's going.
They're actually, as I understand it, preparing for you, that they're building this huge building that's not quite completed, but I'm not even clear where it is. I don't know if it's in Dallas or, but it's this huge building that's incomplete, but that's what's going to be the home of this Texas Stock Exchange. So there, Texas is really serious about this. I had no idea, Will, where Texas was in the ranking of financial powerhouses in the world. But I've been really impressed with the stats I've been reading. Are they number three in the United States? And I'm not sure I got that right.
Couldn't really tell you in terms of GDP because those numbers kind of jostle between California and New York and Texas. But I can tell you that their economy has been growing leaps and bounds quicker than any of the sort of legacy states that we think of as the major economic drivers of this country, you know, namely California, Illinois, New Jersey, and New York. There's just no doubt that a lot of economic activity, as you noted, is leaving those types of states and moving to the Sun Belt because of better weather, but also better tax structure, better regulatory structure. And this is just another case of not only, you know, tech, but also now Wall Street moving south.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of happy for them. I'm sure many of them are just dying to get out of that terrible atmosphere in New York City right now. There was an interview with a professor named Michael Suri. He's the associate professor of the University of Texas in finance. And he had some interesting things to say about this. Let's listen to this. This is his first assessment, and this will be clip three.
Well, I'd say my biggest takeaway is that they've executed a pretty flawless technical launch. Building a modern financial matching engine from scratch is one of the hardest things to do in tech, and they've done it in 18 months. Right now, it's a quiet, phased rollout. They're starting with test trading and rolling out certain symbols incrementally. At the moment, I think they're just doing test symbols, but live trading starts on Friday. So it's not a real chaotic frenzy. Instead, it's a pretty disciplined, institutional-grade proof of concept. Well, I don't think replacing the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ is their intent in the short run, but can they compete? Yes. They're playing a very smart long game. Remember, they aren't some underfunded startup. They've raised something like $275 million, which is a record for a new stock exchange. And it's backed by investment giants like BlackRock and Citadel. Still, they aren't trying to replace New York tomorrow. They're using this kind of phased rollout. So ETFs this fall, corporate listings by winter, and IPOs in 2027. And by offering dual listings, their strategy is that companies can test the Texas waters without actually leaving.
Okay, so Will, to be honest about our discussion here, you are completely on board with the Texas Stock Exchange. So before I next you that ask you the next questions, I want people to know that. You think Wall Street's a pretty good idea, right?
Absolutely. It's great that Texas is taking on New York's monopoly on exchanges. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but you have some concerns, and that's for all my Texas listeners, and there are many of them. And I guess the Texas Stock Exchange would affect any investor anywhere, right? Because it's like New York Stock Exchange, people invest from all over the world. So this will affect everyone listening. But you have some concerns, and I think we need to hear those concerns. Could you please explain why you are writing, you've written an article of caution just recently?
Certainly. Well, I think you heard it just in that clip that you played, which is the backers of this new stock exchange are some of the very same entities that were pushing the wokeness and the ESG that have destroyed economies like California and New York and precipitated the need for a Texas stock exchange. Now, that's not a reason not to celebrate. It's great that Texas was able to secure these legacy mainstream finance players to push this. But what my op-ed cautions is that Texas needs to make sure that it's Texas values, Texas law that preeminates and dominates the Texas Stock Exchange. It's fantastic when legacy players like Bank of America, JP Morgan, and BlackRock basically admit that they were wrong and come down to Texas and say, you know, we need to take on Texas values and start helping businesses like the Texas Stock Exchange thrive. What you don't want, though, is then to bring in those same ESG values, the DEI, the race and sex-based discrimination, the net zero, the pushing of costs higher because we're trying to hit these crazy climate targets that don't mean anything. They need to leave those at the door, and if they don't, then they shouldn't be welcome in Texas, exchange or not. And so that's the caution. This is fantastic news for the state of Texas. It's fantastic news for the country and for the world, really, because there's competition in what's going on in the destruction of New York and the financial services industry there. But we need to make sure that when those players come down to a state like Texas to open up, you know, a new business and leave all that behind, that they truly do leave all that behind. They don't bring that through the door. It needs to be Texas values that dominate.
Yeah, well, let me just pause to remind people. I did talk about environmental, social, and governance, ESG activism, at this microphone, but it's been a long time. But people might remember, and I'm sure we all remember, companies used to be neutral. They weren't advertising political things. They were not encouraging certain behaviors. They were selling deodorant, you know, and beer. And now suddenly that changed, and we all, like, what? What are they doing? They're promoting all kinds of deviant behavior, sexual deviant behavior. They're beginning to make really weird decisions and really force people to embrace things that they wouldn't naturally embrace. And that was all on the account of this environmental, social, and governance activism. Do you know who in the world's idea that was? Whose idea was that?
Well, The history of ESG and woke capitalism, it would take a few minutes to explain. But all that to say, it was a conspiracy among the left to use the financial services industry to force a far-left agenda on America and the world, really, without ever having to get it passed at the ballot box. They failed to ever get things like the Green New Deal or the Paris Accords through the House and Senate. And so instead, they went to the major asset managers, the major banks, the big insurers, people like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and said, hey, we would like you to force that on people through corporate America. And one way to think about it is ESG is the disease. Woke capitalism is the symptom, and that once you get the disease of these big financial services industry basically forcing their will on these corporations, those corporations care more about what Larry Fink thinks, because that's who, you know, reelects their board and keeps them keeps them employed, than they do about their own customers. And we, as you noted, we've seen that with companies like Target, we saw it with Budweiser, we saw it even with Cracker Barrel. And so those are the very same values that have destroyed New York and the financial industry there. It was because of that. It was because of the backlash from that that I think BlackRock wanted to be part of this Texas Stock Exchange, because it was a way for them to show that they had touched the stove, that they burned their hand, and that they wanted to back off from that somewhat. I think the question is, Texas needs to make sure that as BlackRock is involved, as J.P. Morgan and Bank of America are involved with the stock exchange, that they stick to that change of tune and they don't go back to their old ways, because that is going to be, you know, a lot of these people from New York, they have New York social values, environmental values. There is going to be a tendency to want to start to introduce that into the operation of Texas Stock Exchange and the Texas business environment. So it's great that all this business is moving to Texas, but you've got to make sure it's free of the problems that created the need for the Texas Stock Exchange in the first place.
Yeah, actually, I want to come back to BlackRock and the others for a little more detail in just a second, but I want to interject a story that people will remember. I actually just talked about this in the last podcast, and that was North Carolina was the center of some of this pressure, and that was way back. They were forcing bathrooms to be opened to boys, women's bathrooms to be opened to boys. And it caused such a ruckus, but the, I think it was the NBA. I'm sorry, I should remember better, but it was the NBA, NCAA, I'm not sure. But they made North Carolina comply with this, and they passed a bathroom bill. It became just such a mess. And it was about men, you know, using bathrooms that were women's bathrooms. It was ridiculous, but this was corporate led, and the punishment to North Carolina, the threats of removing all the sports events there was great, and so they caved. But that's the kind of thing we're talking about. That's the kind of thing, and that's the kind of power that these corporations have exercised over people. You know, I remember reading in history. The Chinese actually did much of their revolution through big business. They brought them kind of into the orbit and promised them things, and big business did a lot. I hate that term. I think people should be successful, but I'm using the communist term, big business. They would be the ones punishing people and making them conform. They did that first, and so it's very creepy. But let's go back to the alliances now that are in Texas that you've mentioned, a couple that you're concerned about. There's Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, BlackRock, and State Street. And those are all also now involved in this new Texas stock exchange. And has anybody said to them, is there any entity saying, like the governor or anyone who has authority to say, we're going to do this differently here, you guys. We're going to do it more efficiently. There's going to be more protection from you, but do not bring that in. Is anybody saying that to them?
I don't know if it's been said. I don't believe it's been said publicly, because obviously that would be embarrassing at the same time that they're bringing in the stock exchange to chastise them. But I have a strong feeling that it's been said to them, behind closed doors. And one thing that Texas did great is they're also trying to be competitor with Delaware over being the place of incorporation for a lot of these companies, because the way Delaware has sort of blown up their advantage, everything that happened with Elon and his pay package being reversed twice by an activist judge that simply didn't like Elon's politics, overrode the will of the shareholders' vote several times, and cost the corporation tons of money. Examples like that of Delaware, you know, intruding with crazy left-wing values and just kind of deranged politics into the operation of the business community there has caused Texas to be increasingly a great place to reincorporate. And Texas has worked very, very hard to both match what Delaware offers in terms of business courts, what they call chancery courts, but also a lower regulatory environment. And I think that sends a message to these companies like BlackRock that if you're going to come here, you're going to play by Texas rules. And that's basically what I'm asking. Please, please, please keep that in place, because as you noted, a state like North Carolina, that Charlotte for a long time was trying to be a competitor to the financial services industry in New York, having a lower tax regime, lower regulatory regime, was attracting a lot of companies down there. The problem is that those companies then sometimes feel they have a right to intrude on the state's politics. And I don't mean just in terms of, you know, hey, can you, hey, keep regulations light? I mean in situations like you mentioned, where we're going to weigh in on social issues as a corporation. You saw this during the election integrity legislation fights that happened in 2021 in Georgia and Texas. You had a number of corporations based in those states attacking their own state governments, calling them Jim Crow 2.0. That stuff should not fly. That should not be tolerated. And any state, and especially Texas, now that they've got the Texas Stock Exchange, that starts getting that kind of attack from their own native businesses, they need to push back on that. We should be pro-market. We don't have to be pro-business in the sense that these people rule over us.
Yeah. One illustration in your article, by the way, his op-ed is the Texas Stock Exchange must stay true to Texas values, and it's available at the Center Square, thecentersquare.com. It's a great article. I just told Will before we started, I should just let him read his article because it's so good. But I'm pulling from this. Larry Fink and BlackRock is just notorious. I don't know if people, you know. Well, it's so hard for regular people whose investments actually go to these companies through their IRA and stuff. They're so removed from it. They don't realize how entangled they really are, their money is, with this bad stuff. But BlackRock, you write, one of the most recognizable champions of ESG investing is the founding institutional investor of the Texas Stock Exchange. CEO Larry Fink has argued that companies must address issues ranging from climate change to racial and gender inequality, and famously said BlackRock would, quote, force behaviors, end quote, in his 2021 letter to CEOs. He proclaimed that no issue ranks higher than climate change. You know what? It really makes me a skeptic that he's going to play nice. I'm a skeptic.
Well, I understand that. Actually, that's the exact emotion that I'm trying to evoke with this op-ed. I hope that Texas politicians stay skeptical that he's going to play by the rules and keep an eye on what they're trying to do within the state of Texas. I think it's a good thing that Texas opened up their own exchange, is attracting all this money and investment from away from states like New York that seem hell-bent on suicide, especially economic suicide. But they need to stay skeptical. They need to have the exact emotion you just spoke about, because look at all the things this guy said. Now, at the end of the day, I think Larry's a lefty, but I think at the end of the day, he's mostly just rapaciously greedy, and that he will go where the money goes. He was, you know, happy to cozy up to the left and say insane nonsense when they were paying his bills. If that's what it requires him to act like he's a conservative or at least a reformed liberal to operate in Texas, then that's what he'll do. But that's what we need to require of him in the state of Texas, or I should say that's what the state of Texas should require of him. If he starts talking like that, if the other companies start talking like that, Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase were debanking conservatives. Still be. You know, the president famously called them out for this on CNBC, and then the CEOs had to come out and admit, yeah, we debanked the former president of the United States because of our politics. We need to remain, you know, Reagan famously said, trust but verify. Well, my recommendation to Texas is don't trust and verify. Don't trust these people. Let them come bring investment. That's fantastic. Let them help make your state more important and bigger and more advanced than California or New York or any other state in the union. But make sure they're playing by your rules, not their rules, because their rules stink.
Well, can't there be, I'm not sure who the governing body would be, but can't there be something in writing? This would be a neutral declaration that could be enforced, and that is companies will remain politically neutral or neutral on the issues, or you can't operate in this environment or something like that. Can't there be something like that?
Yes. Yeah, so a couple of things. A lot of those types of laws are already on the books. One of the real tragedies of what the asset managers in particular were doing, again, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, is a lot of their assets under management came from, you know, state, local, and even federal pension funds. They were managing, you know, none of their money that they manage is their money. It's other people's money. And they already required under their fiduciary duty to simply focus on returns, not just in the investment that they make, specifically like which stocks they buy, but when they own those stocks, what the direction they give those companies. They don't have a right to tell those companies to get involved in a bunch of far-left politics. They're supposed to tell them to focus on making the best products possible at the cheapest cost possible, making the most money possible, and making as many consumers happy as possible. That's their legal duty, but it wasn't being enforced. And a big part of what's cut down on the amount of woke capitalism and ESG that you've seen is simply holding their feet to the fire on the obligations under the law that they already have. So the good news is it is already written down. It's certainly the law in Texas, and Texas has done a good job. They've really led the way, actually, in holding companies like BlackRock feet to the fire. They had massive amounts of divestment from BlackRock from their public pension funds. BlackRock was on a literal black list for a number of years with the state, where they weren't allowed to invest with BlackRock because of their abuse of their fiduciary duty, or their you know, dereliction of their fiduciary duty. That's the key, though, is you've got to continue to hold their feet to the fire. And if you start seeing them go away from that legal requirement to remain effectively politically neutral, focused on making returns, you've got to call them out for that. And unfortunately, not just Texas, but a whole swath of conservative states were allowing their money to be used against their own interests and not saying anything. And when they started speaking up, that's when a lot of this stuff got caught.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And I want to also point out that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton opened investigations into net zero banking and asset manager alliances led by the likes of Bank of America, which is really one of the worst from my perspective, J.P. Morgan Chase, BlackRock, and State Street. He opened investigations. He sued BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, alleging antitrust violations. That's the kind of thing that has to happen. We have to have good men. We elect good men who do their jobs, and then you and I don't have to worry so much about what these companies are doing and feeling so helpless to stop them because we're like, we have what, our little pot of money, but it's nothing compared to what they can do and control in our country. Well, Will, I think you've done a great service writing this. I really do. Are you optimistic then that the Texans are going to hold the reins on this stuff?
I'm very optimistic. Texas has led the way in our country in so many ways, both economically but also politically in the fight against ESG. You mentioned the wonderful suit by hero Ken Paxton against BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. So I am very optimistic. This op-ed is a way of encouraging them to keep up the fight. And generally in the country, I think that the tone has changed, the momentum has shifted. The big thing that we have to do, and this is the real message of the core message of the op-ed, is our conservative movement has a tendency to, you know, the left does something egregious, and then we get them to crank it down 50% because, you know, we call them out for the insanity and we say, what are you doing? This is nuts. And there's a backlash. We cut what they're doing 50%, and then we pat ourselves on the back and say, what a great success. And the left has still gotten 50% of what they wanted to begin with, and then they just rinse and repeat. And that's what we can't do here. We have to keep our foot on the gas and keep pressing until this is all done away with, all the CSG nonsense, all this woke capitalism is nonsense. The momentum is now on our side. We have certainly cut it down 50%. We got to go get that other 50% and get us back to just focusing on making our country as strong and as profitable and as prosperous for as many people as possible, which is obviously what has created the American dream for so many centuries.
I love that. And so, again, Will is the executive director of Consumers Research, the nation's oldest consumer protection organization, and the Texas Stock Exchange, Y'all Street, is up and running. And we celebrate that with all of you Texans and for the rest of us, too. And Will's brought this important consideration and caution to our attention. So now let's do something about it. Will, thank you so much. Will Health, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn makes it possible for us to have these conversations. And you all, so many of you have been faithful donors. Just amazing. You are amazing to me. I would say that, you know, Preborn advertises on almost all the major talk shows and podcasts. And our show performs as well as, from my understanding, most of those major podcasts. And you know why? It's because of you. It's because of you. There are fewer of you, but you give generously and you really believe in saving babies. And so thank you for that. I'm deeply grateful. I'm deeply grateful. And so for just $28, which is the cost of a dinner right now, in most places where most normal people eat, you can sponsor an ultrasound or introduce a mom to her baby for the very first time. And 100% of your donation will go towards saving those babies. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
But I'd say the primary factors are the Texas kind of business-first branding, the legal protections that are here in Texas, and cost considerations. As you know, last year, Texas passed Senate Bill 1057. Now, that creates certain thresholds that must be reached for shareholders to propose changes to corporate policy. It also rule and set up specialized business courts. So this gives corporate boards a strong shield against frivolous shareholder lawsuits and aggressive proxy fights. So if you're a CEO tired of activist investors second-guessing commercial strategy, Texas is kind of now rolling out the red carpet with a predictable pro-management legal ecosystem. And the exchange has also streamlined the cost and expense structure for firms who choose to list with it that makes it very competitive with the NASDAQ and NYSE.
Doesn't it sound like Texas has thought of everything? I mean, they're building this or adding on to this brand new building. They've got the regulations and rules in place. They're making it easier, cheaper, more functional. You know, this shouldn't be too much of a surprise because Wall Street really has been, I don't know, maybe the late 1800s maybe, or maybe mid 1800s when they set up shop in New York City. That's where that was the center of finance. At that time, there were so many moguls, you know, the Rockefellers and all the people who had those huge mansions and had so much really incomprehensible wealth at that time. So you can imagine that it's probably could be done better now, more streamlined, more careful. And Texas is taking that on. And so I think it's something to be excited about, especially proud of for those of you in Texas. But also we need to take Will's caution about those of you in Texas for sure, about making sure these big companies don't repeat the nonsense they conducted on forcing all of us to do things that were immoral or not be able to do business. It was just a horrible situation. So don't let them do it, Texans. Don't let them do it. All right. Well, we want to thank Preborn for being our sponsor, as always, always saving babies' lives through showing their moms photos of them or ultrasound pictures of them in utero, those little babies. And moms generally decide to keep the baby. Most of them do. Isn't that something? And isn't that natural? And isn't that God's way? That's what Preborn does, and they're very successful. If you'd like to help them, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.